Thank you. Well, good morning, Christian Family Church. We welcome you to stand with us as we give praise and honor to our King this morning. I don't know about you, but in my heart, there is such a praise, there is such a song, there is such a point, a reason to be here. God is so awesome, He is so amazing, and He is so worthy to be praised. And if you know Him like I know Him, shout out hallelujah this morning. Come on. Come on, church. Hallelujah.
His name in the book of Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 9, it says, therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, those on earth, those under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God our Father. God has given him a name that is above every name. There is no other name that can compare to the name of Jesus. The Bible says whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Let's declare it this morning. Do you believe today that his name is above every name? Are you excited today about the Lord, what he's done in your life, what he's going to do? Will you declare it today? The earth will shake, will tremble, mountains will bow. Heaven will declare, holy is the name of Jesus. I want us to sing that out today as an anthem. I want you to lift your voice, declare the earth will quake. I want to hear you. Lift your voice. Family, let's just enter into the presence of the Lord here this morning, because He's here with us. And you see, the Bible says that it's praise. It's through praise that we enter into His gates. It's with thanksgiving that we enter into His courts. So let's enter into the presence of the Lord this morning. As we sing this song, this final song, I encourage you to sing with us, to lift your hands, to worship God this morning. He is worthy, isn't He? Let's sing it.
Thank you.
Gather to meet with you, to hear from you, that you would touch our life. And Lord, I pray for every person here this morning. I pray that you would touch their life with your glory, with your presence, with your spirit. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that you'd bring healing, that you'd bring freedom, that you'd bring strength, that you'd bring peace, that you'd bring joy, that you'd provide, that you'd protect, that you'd deliver. Lord, thank you for your presence. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. Thank you, Lord, for filling people with your joy this morning, with peace this morning, with strength this morning. Thank you, Lord, that we do not leave here the same way that we came in here today, but we leave here changed. We leave here stronger. We leave here better. We leave here, Lord, touched by your presence. We give you all the honor. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory for everything that you've done, for everything that you're doing, for everything that you're going to do in the future, Lord. We give you praise today. Can you give him praise today? Can you put your hands together and give God a big hand of praise and give a big shout and get excited today to be in the house of God, in the presence of the Lord? Come on, let's let Jesus know that we love him, that we're excited. Let's bless him, let's praise him, let's worship him. Amen.
Sunday, but today is Palm Sunday, and that is the day when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, right? You can read about it, and I encourage you to go and read it, but the Bible says that in fulfillment of prophecy, you know, that everything that happened with Jesus was prophesied way before, right? And they didn't recognize him when he came, but that day when he came into Jerusalem, and he got a donkey and sat on it and rode into Jerusalem. It was a fulfillment of the promise. There was a promise in Zechariah 9 verse 9 which said, "Behold, your king shall come in riding on a donkey." And Jesus was fulfilling everything that God had prophesied. He was the Messiah. He was saying, "I am the king. I am the Savior." The Bible says that the people threw down coats and they threw down palm branches. And they shouted, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And the Bible says that, well, the meaning of that word Hosanna means "save now, Lord." And so they were calling out, they were declaring that he was their Savior. They were oppressed. They were mistaken because they thought he was going to save them from the Roman government. They didn't really get exactly the full picture, but they recognized him as the Savior. And that's the beginning of the Easter week. So that is what today is. And then we know that it goes on to Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane through the week and Judas betraying him, and finally on Good Friday, the crucifixion. So this week, I actually just take your time and read that again and just be, let's be so mindful and thankful for what the Lord has done for us. Amen.
Amen.
Just amazing. And next week we'll come together and celebrate his resurrection, which is the reason that we can be children of God. That's the reason that we can be grafted into the family of God. Amen.
Amen.
And so this morning, it's a significant Sunday. It's significant when we remember what it is that he did for us, right? Praise the Lord. Well, we're so glad that you're in church with us, and I want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time. We love having visitors here, don't we? Yes. I know you feel it in your heart. You just got to let your face and your hands know about it, right? If anyone is visiting for the first time, the way we honor our guests is we'd like to just give you a gift bag right where you're sitting. Don't want to embarrass you in any way. But if you are here for the first time, would you mind just waving your hand that we can welcome you? God bless you. God bless you. Welcome. Just keep your hand raised and I'll sure get to you. We just need to see your hand. Thank you. They'll come to you right now. Wonderful. We're so glad that you joined us, and glad that you're worshiping with us. Anyone else that didn't get one yet? You got it. Thank you. In that gift bag's a couple of things. One is a teaching CD from Pastor Steve. We put it in there, hoping it'll be an encouragement to you. Maybe in the week you just need a little boost. Just put it in your CD player and just hear the Word of God, hopefully to encourage and build your faith. And then also in that bag is a white card. Just take a moment, fill that out for us. At the end of the service, we pass an offering bag by. You can just drop it in, and it gives the pastor an opportunity to call you and find out how you enjoyed the service. So thank you for doing that. Let's give our guests a big round of applause. Thank you. So glad to have you with us. Amen. Thank you, my dear.
You're 39 on Tuesday.
Right, I mean, it's a miracle.
And then, who's the next birthday? When's Emma?
Emma.
My granddaughter is on the 18th. She'll be
eight.
Nadine is on the 21st. What are you, 32? Then my daughter Robin's on May 1st. And she's 34. It's an expensive month, I tell you what. And then Jude, my grandson, he's 6.
So forgive us if all you see is birthdays, birthdays, wow. Birthdays. But thank you very much.
I wish I was 39. So now, after service, please, I hope you'll join us. Have some birthday cake afterwards with us. And someone else has a birthday today, is it? Latrell, where's Latrell? Latrell's birthday today. Also, he's 16 today. Happy birthday. This cake is for you too, Latrell. Praise God. Can you go ahead and play the video for Easter before I start? Thank you so much.
Everybody.
Christ was the greatest event that ever occurred. And the reason we celebrate is because he rose and so that we can rise as well. We can rise up. We can reign with him. Amen. Let me put these lights back up. So I want to really encourage you next Sunday, Easter Sunday, when you came in today, you were given some of these invitation cards. And what we are asking you to do is please to use this hard to invite somebody to come next week. In fact, imagine if every one of us brought five people to church next week. Thank you for your great enthusiasm this morning. Trying to name yourself. Imagine if every one of us brought five people to church next week. You think that could happen?
Yes.
Well, it'll never happen if we never try, right? So I want to encourage you. I gave you five cards when you came in. This morning, you should have received five of these invitations. I'm going to ask you, please, invite five people. We've got two people coming next week. I've got my guests set up. They're going to be on the front row, taking them to lunch after service. One lady's never been to church in her life. First time ever stepping foot in a church. She was raised where? Raised in Vietnam. A family of Buddhists. Never been to church. Coming next Sunday. Who are you bringing next Sunday? Ask your neighbor. Who are you bringing to church next Sunday? Go ahead, ask them. Who are you bringing to church next Sunday? Let's all invite people to come next Sunday. What do you say, Brian? You can bring somebody? All you've got to do is invite people. What I said to my guests is I want to take you to lunch afterwards. Because as far as I'm concerned, it's worth it. For me to invest in somebody, to buy them lunch, if it means they come and get saved, get born again, I mean, it's worth it, isn't it? Their life has changed forever. So I want to really encourage every one of us, let's do our best, let's invite people. Easter's a great time to invite people to church. Of course, you know, we're going to have a wonderful service, and I've got a great message, and we've got special things happening. We're going to do family photographs set up in the lobby after the service. It's a good time. Get dressed up, and we'll take family pictures. We'll have a few photographers taking pictures next week. So, looking forward to Easter, right?
Amen.
Praise God. Are you ready for God's Word this morning?
Yes.
I'm sorry we started late this morning. Unfortunately, Monique just got she was without a car for a while, and she just got a car a week ago, and it broke down on the freeway on the way to church this morning, and she called me, and, you know, she tried to get some people come out and try and help her, and so that's why we started a little late today. It hasn't happened before. So anyway, we're still having a great service, and the band did a great job. And Malin rushed in and got on the stage and did a great job. So praise God. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you're here this morning. I want to speak to you this morning about the power of connectivity. The power of connectivity. You know, it's easy to try and do life on our own, think we don't need any help. But really the truth is you will not reach your highest potential by yourself. God has ordained people to come into your life to strengthen you, to encourage you, to push you toward your purpose. Have you ever seen the birds that fly in formation? Geese that fly in that V, have you ever seen that? Do you know why geese make that V, why they fly in that V? It's because it takes 40% less energy when they fly in formation like that. They use up 40% less energy. I mean, they could do it, they could fly by themselves, but they understand the principle that I'm sharing with you this morning. They won't go as far if they fly solo. We're better together. Yeah. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, in verse number 9, it says, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. It says, likewise, two people lying close together to keep each other warm, but how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two stand back to back and conquer. They're even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Now, the Bible says two's better than one. We're better together. And you know, in the New Testament, over 30 times the Bible says, it uses the phrase one another. Over 30 times, the things we are commanded to do, love one another. Romans 12 verse 10 says, be devoted to one another in love. Give preference to one another. Romans 12, 16 says, live in harmony with one another. Romans 13 verse 8 says, love one another. Romans 14 verse 19 says, build up one another. Romans 15 verse 7 says, accept one another. Romans 15 verse 14 says, admonish one another. Romans 16, 16 says, greet one another. 1 Corinthians 12, 25 says, have the same care for one another. Galatians 5, 13 says, serve one another. And Ephesians 4, verse 2 says, show tolerance for one another. Ephesians 4, 32 says, be kind to one another. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Ephesians 5, 21 says, submit to one another. Philippians 2, verse 3 says, regard one another as more important than yourself. 1 Thessalonians 4, 18 says, comfort one another. 1 Thessalonians 5, 11 says, encourage one another. Build up one another. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 13 says, live in peace with one another. 1 Thessalonians 5, 15 says, seek after that which is good for one another. Hebrews 10, 25 says, stimulate one another to love and good deeds. James 5, 16 says, confess your sins to one another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. 1 Peter 4 verse 9 says, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. 1 Peter 4 verse 10 says, God has given each of us a gift from His great variety of spiritual gifts. Use those gifts to serve one another. And 1 Peter 5 verse 5 says, clothe yourself with humility toward one another. There's also some one another's we're told and commanded not to do. Romans 14 verse 13 says, let us not judge one another. Galatians 5 verse 26 says, let us not become vainglorious, self-conceited, and competitive, and challenging, and provoking, and irritating to one another. Let us not envy one another. Let us not be jealous of one another. Colossians 3 verse 9 says, don't lie to one another. James 4 verse 11 says, don't speak against one another. James 5 verse 9 says, don't complain against one another. Let me tell you, you need some one another's around you. You can't isolate yourself and think, oh, well, I'm strong enough, I'm tough enough, I'm talented enough, I don't need anybody. Listen, you might be for what you have in mind, but you are not for what God has in mind. God has something bigger and more rewarding that you cannot do just by yourself. Are you flying solo today, or do you have a community of faith, people flying with you, people watching over you, people encouraging you, people inspiring you? You know, after... I was watching a football game a little while back, and they interviewed the running back, the star running back. They interviewed him. He'd had a great game that night, and he set a record for the amount of yards that had been rushed. And the reporter asked him, how did he do it? And the first thing he said, it was because of my offensive line. These guys, they blocked for me. They're the best. And my coaches, they poured into me. They made me better. My trainers have helped me to get stronger. He recognized we need one another. Listen, you can be good by yourself, but you can't be great by yourself. You won't become all that you were created to be without the right people around you. Let me tell you, without the right people around you, you might go 60%, but when you get in formation, when you've got a family of faith, blocking for you, praying for you, encouraging you. You know what? You'll go 40% further than you would by yourself. That's why the Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, it says, not forsaking or neglecting to assemble together as believers, as is the habit of some people. Some people, some Christians, it's their habit. They neglect assembling together. I've got people who told me today, I'll be in church. See you there. I'll be there, Pastor Steve. I'll be there. I'm there. I'm there. I ain't here. You know why? Something else came up. It says, but admonishing and warning and urging and encouraging one another, and all the more faithfully as you see the day approaching. The New Century Version says you should not stay away from the church meetings, as some people are doing, but you should meet together and encourage each other. Do this even more as you see the day approaching. That's talking about the day of Jesus' return. Listen, how are we going to be able to obey all those one another commands in the New Testament if you're not committed to a particular local church? It will be impossible unless you seek your roots and commit yourself to a particular local church for the long haul. If you're bouncing around from here to here, from there to there, you'll never be in one place long enough to obey all these commands. Now, I understand we will have challenges and problems, difficulties, conflicts along the way when you're in a church. But the will of God is for us to stay and work those things out. That's why the Bible says we must show tolerance for one another. That's why the Bible says we must forgive one another. That's why the Bible says we must be kind and we must be subject to and we must live in peace with one another. If there were no problems, if there were no conflicts in a church, those commands would be meaningless. What's the point of forgiving one another and living in peace with one another if you're just going to leave whenever you have a conflict? The bottom line, God wants us to live out our Christian life with one another as a family. I mean, when your brother or sister in your family does something that is irritating to you or unkind, I hope you don't disown them, move out, and never have anything to do with them again. Some people do. But with me, I mean, you know, there's times my brother, or I don't have a brother, my sister, family, or my wife, my kids, I mean, sometimes they irritate me. Anyone else out there like that? Just a few? Some of you are perfect out there. You never ever get irritated by anybody. But you don't disown them. You work it out. Listen, when we come together as a body of believers, united in faith, I want to tell you there's something that happens that you cannot get on your own. You draw strength from each other. As your praise gets mixed with their praise, power is released. Healing is released. Joy is released. Let me tell you, every time we come together, you're being refreshed, you're being restored, you're being re-energized. It's like your batteries are being recharged. What the weak took out of you, God is putting back into you today. And it's good to worship on your own. It's important. You should worship on your own. You should pray by yourself. But let me tell you, there's something that happens corporately that doesn't happen individually. That's what David said in Psalm 34. He said, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. See, when we come together to magnify God, it's like the intensity gets turned up. There is power in connectivity. People tell me all the time, personally, when I came to church, I felt something different. Last week, a young lady, 21 years old, she told me, she said, every time I come to church, I can't stop weeping. I never felt this before. Every time I come to church, I start crying. Listen, this building is a hotel ballroom. They have events here every week. No one walks around weeping. What's the difference? When we come together in faith, an ordinary building becomes the house of God. When your faith is mixed with my faith. Let me tell you, when your faith mixes with my faith, it creates something powerful. It breaks bondages. It lifts depression. It brings healing. It restores joy. I mean, I'm glad that, you know, people watch online and people watch on TV and people watch on the YouTube channel, these sermons. I'm glad people listen to our what do you call it? podcasts, and I'm glad you do all that, but listen, that should never be a substitute for attending church. It should be an addition to attending church. Hello? You need to be around a community of faith. And I know it takes effort. You've got to get up early on Sunday morning. You've got to get your kids dressed. You've got to drive somewhere on your day off. There's a lot of other things, you know, you could be doing. But I'm going to tell you, you will never give God something without Him giving you more back in return. When you give God the first part of your week, you take a few hours to assemble together and connect with other believers. Let me tell you, God will make up the time to you. He'll give you one idea, one good break that'll put you weeks and months down the road. Because God sees the sacrifice. Every time you obey Him, there's a blessing that follows. There've been times that I've come to church, I had a lot on my mind, I'm dealing with a lot of challenges, but when I walk in these doors, and I hear the songs of praise, and I see the smile on your face, I feel the victory in the room, all of a sudden, I have a new perspective. I'm reminded God is bigger than anything that I'm facing. I'm encouraged, I'm strengthened. In fact, that heaviness lifts right off. And I have a whole new attitude. What is it? It's God refreshing. It's God restoring. It's God re-energizing. I mean, I could have stayed home and hoped to get better, prayed for joy, believed for a breakthrough. But I know there's power in connectivity. Your faith is making me stronger. Your praise is helping me fight my battles. Your smile is giving me joy. When we come together, let me tell you, it's not only refueling you, but it's helping other people. You know, sometimes we think, well, you know, Pastor Steve, you know, everything's great in my life. I don't really need to come to church. Why don't you come and let your praise be for somebody else? Why don't you let your worship create an atmosphere for God to bless other people? Hello? Your smile can be what keeps them going on. Your hug can be what puts them back on their feet. You might say, no, Pastor Steve, not me. I'm just, you know, one in the crowd. No, your presence makes the atmosphere better. Because when you came to church today, you brought God with you. You brought faith with you. You came with expectancy. And so you're creating an atmosphere for God to bless people. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 18:20. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Thank you, Lord, that you are here in the midst of us today. How about when 200 or 300 people are gathered? I believe it's multiplied. The scripture says one will chase 1,000, but two will put 10,000 to flight. Every one of us is causing there to be a greater joy, a greater strength, a greater faith. Together, we're better, we're stronger, we're more powerful. Amen? Amen. I mean, I'm glad that people watch me on TV or listen to the, you know, podcast or watch online. I'm thanking God for technology. I believe it's good to watch. It's good to listen. But I believe, family, if someone lives in this area, you know, don't go the next 20 years and miss out. But you need to be in a community of faith. Not only will it make, you know, us better, but it makes you better too. You need to get plugged into a Bible-based church. Really, we have to be planted in the house of God. Amen. We've got to be planted in God's house. That's what the scripture says in Psalm 92, in verse 13. It says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of our God. Amen. Say that. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of our God. Say, when I'm planted in the house of the Lord, my life's going to flourish. That's what it says. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of our God. See, when you're planted, that means you put down roots. You put roots down deep. You committed. Hallelujah. Amen. How many know when you plant a tree, that tree's committed? Yeah. You know, in the last 50 years, there's been a huge rise in America, not just America, but around the world, in the number of couples who live together versus those who get married. In the 1960s, 1 out of 10 couples lived together. Today, 6 out of 10 couples live together. Can you believe that? More than half couples today simply decide they're not going to get married. And I believe it's a reflection of the state of our culture. Biblical values like dedication, commitment, loyalty, have been going downhill for the last 50 years. I mean, many people today, they're unreliable, uncommitted. It's no longer true that a man's word is his bond. I have people tell me stuff all the time, they don't do it. All the time, make me promises and don't do it. When it's not in their own best interest to do it. See, the Bible says that a godly man swears to his own hurt and doesn't change. In other words, if I say I'm going to do it, I don't care what it takes. I'm going to do what I say. Yeah. See, as disciples of Jesus, we should be known by a different character. I mean, why did two people decide to live together? This might be a little of an oversimplification, but I believe the primary reason is they want to experience all the benefits of marriage without any of the commitment or responsibilities. They want the benefit of a sexual relationship without having to make a permanent commitment. Amen. Then if things don't go according to their liking, and you know, in the end, they always will, sooner or later, then they can just bail out. They don't even need to file for divorce. There are millions of people today in America like that who attend church, but they are not committed members of their church. Amen. They want to live with the church. They just don't want to marry the church. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching good today. They want the benefit. I have many people, they come to, they want the benefits of the church. They like hearing the word preached. They like being able to worship, you know, with other believers. They like having pastors. They can call me. They can text me. I'll counsel them. I'll visit them. But they don't want the responsibilities of being a member of the church. Like serving in church. Like giving financially to the mission of the church. Like using their spiritual gifts to benefit the church. Yeah. Like volunteering in church. Submitting to leadership of the church. Mm-hmm. Listen, to be committed to a local church will require sacrifice, time, and energy. Many times, you know, when you don't feel like it, you might rather be doing something else. But it is God's will. God wants his people to be committed members. He wants us to walk down the aisle, so to speak, and say, I do, to a specific local church. I'm committed, I'm planted, I'm putting down roots. That's what God wants, family. The Bible teaches every Christian should be a committed member of a particular local church, not just a casual attender, you know, who's involved only when it suits them, or will leave and run the first time there's any conflict, any difficulty. Listen, every child of God becomes a part of God's church the moment that they are born again. The moment they accept Jesus, they become part of God's universal church. But not every child of God is committed to a particular local church. Many people just church hop. They go one place for a while, and then they hop over here for a while, then they hop over there for a while, and then if there's a revival meeting or a special guest or a healing service, they'll hop over there. If they find a church with great worship, a great children's ministry, or entertaining preaching, then they'll hop over there for a little while. And then when a problem arises, a conflict arises, you know, with someone in the church, then all of a sudden they feel called. God's calling me to go to another church. Or here's the one I love. I'm not being fed, Pastor Steve. The problem is that a great number of Christians approach church with a consumeristic mentality. They see themselves as consumers of a product, and the product is worship, preaching, and children's ministry. So they will attend the church as long as it's not too inconvenient. They're like price shoppers. They buy a particular brand of coffee. And when they find another brand that's cheaper or sold in a store closer to their home, then they'll switch. We shouldn't approach our involvement in church solely with the attitude, what's in it for me? How far will I have to drive? How much of my time is going to be required? What am I going to have to give? Listen, all those questions come from a worldly, consumeristic type of attitude. When we join ourselves to a church, we shouldn't be like a leech sucking the life from its host, and then when it sucks it dry, moves on to another host. Listen, family, in our involvement with a church, God doesn't want us to be takers. He wants us to be givers. He wants us to give back. Sometimes I hear people say, oh, you know, have you heard about that? You know, new church, oh, it's so awesome. You've got to come hear the worship. You've got to come hear the preaching. You know, and Christians float around from church to church trying to find the newest, the hottest, the best. The result is they have no real commitment to any particular local church. They're not planted in the house of the Lord. They're not grounded. They haven't put down roots. And this Family, the New Testament teaches every Christian should be committed to practice the one another's that I mentioned to you. We should be committed to practice those one another's within the church. Yeah. We should be committed to use the gifts that God has given us to be a blessing to the church. We should submit to the leaders that God has put over us in the church. We should support the mission of the church. We should be helping to make disciples and grow the church. Will you commit to the people of Christian Family Church to love them, serve them, pray for them, accept them, forgive them, do life together? We're better together. Will you commit to faithfully gather with them on Sunday mornings in order to practice the one another's together? Will you put time into identifying what gifts, abilities, what resources you possess that you can use for the benefit of your church family? Will you dedicate time and energy and money for the building up of your brothers and sisters, the advancing of Jesus' kingdom here in Jupiter and around the world? Will you commit yourself? Will you, it's kind of like, you know, like wedding vows. Will you take this man to be your lawfully wedded husband? I'm asking you to stop living with the church and marry the church. Become the bride of Christ. Be committed. Put down roots. Get involved. Come on, you can have better than that this morning. Embrace the responsibilities as well as the benefits of belonging to the church. What do you say? Will you say, yes, Lord, I do. Yes, Lord, I will be planted in your house. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, as is the habit of some, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see that day approaching. Notice it says, as the manner of some is. That means there's some people that used to be planted. They used to make God a priority. They used to be faithful. They used to be giving. They used to be serving. They used to be attending. But they got distracted. They got busy. What they're really saying is, I can fly solo. I can do life on my own. The problem with not having a community of faith, listen to me, you get out from under God's protection. When you're with a body of believers, not only do you have God watching over you, do you have people watching over you, but God is covering you. God puts a hedge of protection that will make it more difficult for you to get off course. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. I mean, I heard about one man being a leader, a pastor, not a pastor, but a leader and committed member of this church for many, many years, many years. He and his family, some of the main leaders, but he got distracted. He decided he didn't need a community of faith. He was going to fly solo. He's going to live isolated. Nobody to watch after him. He ended up losing his marriage, turning to alcohol. He went way downhill. His children won't have anything to do with him today. I thought about how different his life would be if he had stayed connected and planted in the house of the Lord. If he would have continued that commitment of making God a priority, being in church every week, serving with others. Let me tell you, I thought about how different his life would be. I can tell you that our biggest secret with our family, with our children, is we raise them in the house of God. Amen. It's our biggest secret. I got married at 18 and had Robert at 19. What does a 19-year-old know about raising a child? I knew one thing. Bring them to the house of the Lord, because train up a child in the way they should go. I knew that. And we had our kids in church from 2 weeks old. And every Sunday we went to church. And don't you think there were days when the kids, I don't want to go. We got four kids. I don't want to go. This ain't a debate. We're going to church. You live in this house. You eat my food. You sleep in that bed. You're going to church. End of story. I'm the boss in this house. Who's the boss in your house? Hey, James. I'd be like, well, my little Timmy don't want to come to church. I'm not talking about Timmy that we have, but little Johnny, he don't want to come to church. Who gives a hoop what little Johnny wants? You're supposed to train little Johnny and show him what's right. Are you kidding me? We live in a world today where little Johnny, if you want to be little Mary, that's okay. I see my son, little, playing with a doll. I say, you know, little boys, we don't play with dolls. Here's a car. Here's a toy gun. I'm teasing you. But I taught my son to be a man. The best thing you can do is train your children and raise them in the house of God. Let me tell you, when you're in the house of the Lord, go back to me, when you're in the house of the Lord, there's a protection God puts on you. There are battles that you won't have to fight. There are temptations you won't have to deal with. There are struggles you won't have to go through because you're connected, you're plugged in, you're planted, you're honoring God. I mean, I can't think of a better gift to give your children than to raise them in the house of the Lord. I can't think of a better gift to give them. Oh, basically, my child, I'm having real problems. Hey, they're so rebellious. Because you didn't bring them to church every week. You trained them to be that way. Can you handle that? Can you handle the truth? Some people, they won't understand. They'll be like, oh, why are you getting up early on the day off? You know, you don't just go to church. You go there early to set up, to serve. You help. You stay late to help others. I mean, what's wrong with you? You're always in church. Have anyone tell you that? Her family. Her family. Joe's family. They were, when we were younger, you're always in church. I mean, is that all you do? Years later, you know what they asked us? What's your secret? Yeah. How come your kids are all so great, all went through school, all serving God? How come? Because remember when you said, why are you all in church? They don't realize. It's not just refueling you. When you plant it in the house of the Lord, let me tell you right now, you will flourish. Yes. You will flourish. When you're plugged in, when you're faithful, when you make God's house a priority, there's a blessing that comes on your life that'll cause you to bloom, will cause you to blossom, will cause you to flourish. You'll reach levels you couldn't reach on your own. I love what David said in Psalm 26, verse 8. He said, I love your sanctuary. Lord, I love your sanctuary. It's the place where your glorious presence dwells. And EV Bible, what is that? EV Bible. EV Bible. Another translation. I think it is. But this is what it says. Contemporary English Version. CEV. It says this. I love your sanctuary, Lord, the place where your glory shines down. Do you know what's happening right now? God's glory shining down on you. I said God's glory shining down on you. God's favor shining down on you. God's strength shining down on you. God's healing shining down on you. Your week will go better because you're covered by the glory of God by coming here this morning. Your week's going to go better. That good break you recently had, that client that called, placed an unexpected order, or that car that swerved just at the last minute, barely missed you, those were not just lucky breaks. That was the blessing that comes from being planted in the house of the Lord. Are you sitting family? That God's glory shining down on you, covering you, favoring you, protecting you. Amen. Today we have so many distractions. So many good things can keep us from God's best. Oh, Steve, Pastor Steve, you know, I got football today, or my kids got football today, or I hear that 1,000 times. I got basketball today. I got errands to run today. I had a busy week. I had a busy week. I'm so tired. I'm just going to stay home and rest today. I'm just going to watch online. Those are all good things. But when you realize the benefits of coming together, let me tell you, you'll rearrange your schedule so that you can be in the house of the Lord. You'll make it a priority. Amen. It's all what we make important, family. I've seen people go to a football game, sit outside in 20-degree weather, freezing cold, traffic is a nightmare. You've got to walk a mile to the stadium, sit in the upper deck. You can't even see. They can't even see because their eyelids are frozen closed. They don't complain. They don't get upset. You know what? They don't care. They're a fan. They love their team. What if we had that same spirit in church? I'm a fan. I'm going to the house of the Lord. Let's continue on my team. Let's worship my God. To thank Him for what He's done. To draw strength from other believers. To have His glory shine down on me. Family, don't you think we should be even more as committed as a football fan? God says, don't forsake the assembling together. And so much more as you see that day approaching. What he's saying is, be sure you come together, but as the times start getting darker, there's going to be more trouble, more calamity. Make it especially sure that you come together even more.
Amen.
We're living in a day where almost every week there's a tragedy. School shooting, people driving buses into innocent people. Two churches in Egypt were bombed today. Last week, babies were killed with chemical weapons. There are viruses they can't contain. Flooding, earthquakes. If there was ever a day that we should come together, not out of fear, but to draw strength and encouragement from each other, it is today, family. Yet this is a day when there's more distractions than ever. We are busier. We've got more opportunities. You've got to make it a priority. That as for me and my house, we're not only going to serve the Lord, we're going to the house of the Lord. We're going to the house of the Lord. Every Sunday, I'm going to God's house. In the house of the Lord, there's protection. In the house of the Lord, there's healing. In the house of the Lord, there's encouragement. It prepares you for what you're going to face in the week. Let me tell you, you'll make better decisions. You'll have more creativity. You'll see more of God's favor in your life when you plant it in the house of the Lord. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
You know, I'm coming to a close. A very interesting fact about penguins. Just a random. My grandson Brady loves penguins. He's obsessed with penguins. Do you know penguins live in a climate where the weather can get down to 40 degrees below zero with winds of 120 miles? The way they survive is they huddle together. They stand side by side all around. As many as 6,000 penguins huddle. Their feathers catch the warmth from their bodies. And the temperature in the center of the huddle can get up to 70 degrees. Think about that. In minus 40 weather, in the center of that huddle, it's 70 degrees. Their protection is in their connectivity. What if one of those penguins, look at that. What if one of those penguins decided he's going to live on his own? I don't need to be in the huddle. I don't need to be connected. I'm going to do life by myself. I've got places to go. I've got people to see. I'm going to fly solo. How many of you know it wouldn't be long before he's in penguin heaven? Because he can't make it by himself. His survival is dependent on staying connected to everybody else in the home. Let me tell you, it's the same way with us. With all that's going on in this world, the distractions, the calamities, the opportunities to compromise. Let me tell you, with all that cold, you can't make it by yourself. You need the warmth. You need the strength. You need the encouragement. You need the support of other believers. You've got to stay connected. It's time to get plugged in. Don't go another day, another week, another month flying solo, but have a community of faith around you. Amen?
Amen.
The Bible says, I love this in Psalm 133, verse 1, how good and how pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. For there the Lord commands His blessing, even life forevermore. Do you know that God, we are here today from all walks of life, all races, all social standings, Democrats, Republicans, rich, poor, young and old. But when we walk in these doors, we put all of that aside. And we come here as one family to worship the God who spoke the worlds into existence. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter the mistakes you've made. It doesn't matter what nationality you are. It doesn't matter who you voted for. It doesn't matter what your occupation is. We realize even though we have differences, we are here worshiping the same God. And because there's a spirit of unity, because we know we're all part of the same family, God says every time we come together, He's going to command a blessing. He's going to command favor. He's going to command healing. He's going to command breakthroughs. What stopped you in the past, every time you show up, is getting a little bit weaker. You keep on coming together faithfully week after week, and one day that commanded blessing is going to break every force that's holding you back, and you're going to step into a new level of your destiny because of the commanded blessing of God that's on your life. Amen.
Amen.
Psalm 73 was written by a man named Asaph. He was one of three Levite priests that were commissioned by David to be a worship leader in the house of the Lord. In Psalm 73, Asaph was having a lot of problems. People were coming against him. And he was discouraged. And he started out in verse 14, he said, "I get nothing but trouble all day long. Every morning brings me pain." I mean, that's pretty depressing, isn't it? I get nothing but trouble. Every morning brings me pain. Verse 17. "Then I went into your sanctuary." Then I went into your sanctuary. Then I went into your sanctuary. And finally I understood the destiny of the wicked. He got a new perspective. He could hear people thanking God. He could hear people telling about God's goodness. And when he got around people of faith, people that knew God is in control, that spirit of defeat and depression, it couldn't stay. A few verses later, listen to what he said in verse 21. "Then I realized my heart was bitter. I was all torn up inside. I felt so foolish and ignorant. I must have seemed like a senseless animal to you. Yet I still belong to you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. You lead me to a glorious destiny." I mean, talk about a turnaround, man. The one minute, all I get is trouble. I get paid every morning. Then I went to your house. And now I know you're guiding me. You're leading me to a glorious destiny. Whom have I in heaven but you? I desire you more than anything on the earth, Lord. My health may fail. My spirit may grow old, but God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever. Those who desert him will perish, for you destroy those who abandon you. But as for me, how good it is to be near you, Lord. I've made the sovereign Lord my shelter, and I will tell everybody about the wonderful things that you do." I mean, you talk about a change of heart. He went from thinking all I have is trouble to I have a glorious destiny. What changed? Did he drink a Red Bull? Did he watch Dr. Phil? Did he call in the prayer hotline? No, he went to the sanctuary. He showed up at Christian Family Church. He might have been sitting down the road from you. Your praise created the atmosphere to break the depression. Your smile, your joy, your encouragement, your faith could have helped change his perspective. In the house of the Lord, we draw strength from one another. Amen. Tell your neighbor, "I'm strengthening you." Tell him, "You're strengthening me. I'm here to encourage you. You're going to encourage me. We connected." Let me tell you, family, listen, are you getting anything out of this morning? Because I want to tell you, I really felt the Lord put this on my heart real strong. There are some breakthroughs that are only going to happen when you get into the sanctuary. Your faith alone may not be enough. That's why God ordained you to be in a community of faith. In the sanctuary, your faith is connected to his faith and her faith and their faith and her faith. And before long, instead of small faith, you've got mountain moving faith. What held you back individually cannot hold you back corporately. See, I need your faith. I need your strength. I need your smile. By ourselves, we're strong, but together, we're unstoppable. By ourselves, we'll get through the difficulty, but together we'll come out better on the other side. By ourselves, we'll be blessed, but together we'll step into the fullness of the blessing. I mean, I wonder what would happen if you would get to the sanctuary more often, if you would make God a priority in your life. There's power when you get connected. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus had just risen from the dead, and he told his followers not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. And scholars say, well, another scripture says that Jesus appeared to more than 500 people after he rose from the dead. After Jesus rose from the dead, more than 500 people saw him. And he told them, wait in Jerusalem. But in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, the Bible says there were 120 in the upper room. Here's my question. Where were the other 380 that Jesus appeared to? If Jesus rose from the dead and appeared to you and told you to wait in Jerusalem, let me tell you, I will be there. I don't care what's going on. I'm going to be there. How about you? Where were the other 380? Maybe they were busy. Maybe they had errands to run. Maybe they were tired. Whatever the reason, they missed out on what God promised. Those 120 people in that upper room, they were in one accord, in one place. They were together in unity. And suddenly the Holy Spirit came like a rushing mighty wind. Let me tell you, when you are in unity, connected to other believers, there's going to be some suddenlies in your life. Suddenly your health will improve. Suddenly your business will take off. Suddenly you'll meet the right person. Suddenly you'll see the victory because you are planted in the house of the Lord. You're going to see unexpected favor. You're going to see sudden turnarounds. You're going to see things happen that you couldn't make happen. God's going to cause them to suddenly happen. Can you say amen? I heard about the redwood trees. You know, redwood trees are the tallest trees in the world. They reach heights of 350 feet. And they live for 2,000 years. They're incredibly resilient trees. They can withstand strong winds, storms, pests, things that would take other trees down. And what's amazing to me is that a redwood tree, its roots only go down 6 to 12 inches. The largest root is 1 inch in diameter. How could these small roots that only go down a fraction of the height of the tree keep that tree up? You know what's unique about the redwood tree? Its roots go out and intertwine with other redwood trees. They spread out 100 feet and they connect with the roots of other redwood trees all around. So when the wind blows, even if it's a strong storm, the redwood's not just relying on its own roots. The whole forest is linked together. The wind is not just blowing against one tree. It's blowing against thousands of trees. And that's how the redwood tree can stand hundreds and hundreds of years, because it has the strength of the whole forest. Well, listen, when you plant it in the house of the Lord, your roots are connected to my roots and their roots and her roots and his roots and her roots. And before long, you've got a support system that cannot be shaken. And when the storms come, what would have normally blown you over by yourself, because you're connected to other redwood trees. We're there to stabilize you. We're there to steady you. We're there to strengthen you. For that storm to take you out, it would have to take all of us out. And that is not going to happen. One can chase 1,000. Two can put 10,000 to flight. How about when we're all connected together? Together we can't be defeated. Together we are powerful. Amen. Yeah. I mean, the wind might be blowing against you today in your health or relationship, in your finances, trying to push you down, trying to tell you it's never going to work out. You've got too many obstacles, but you need to know that you've got a lot of redwoods around you. You're surrounded by a community of faith. Amen. We're not going to let you down. The enemy's not just dealing with you. He's got to deal with all of us, because our roots are connected. We're planted in the house of the Lord. You may get weak, but we're there that we're going to hold you up. The storms may blow, but we're going to stabilize you. You might feel like giving up. We're going to keep pushing you forward in the name of Jesus. That's the benefit of being connected. It's not just your prayers. It's all of our prayers. We're in this together. We're a family of faith. You don't have to do life by yourself. If you're a redwood out there on your own, you're not going to last very long. You were designed to be connected. You need a family of faith. That's why we are here, family. Every week we're going to steady you. We're going to encourage you. We're going to challenge you. We're going to inspire you. You didn't come here by accident. God in His divine destiny has connected us. Together we're better. The question is, are you flying solo? Are you doing life on your own? Because that's going to keep you from your highest potential. We need you plugged in, planted, committed, faithful, active. season, serving for the long haul. Can you say amen? Without you, we're not going to be as strong. You've got to come in to offer that nobody else has. When you plant it in the house of the Lord, you'll not only go to new heights, but you've created an atmosphere for God to bless others. This is the year and the time to get connected. If you do this, I really believe, family, if you will do this, I believe it, because we united all together in unity, I believe God is about to command a blessing on your life. You're going to bloom, you're going to flourish, you're going to blossom, you're going to see the glorious destiny that God has in store for you in the name of Jesus. If you believe it, say amen.
Amen.
Give the Lord praise. Want you to lift your hands together. Lord, I thank you for the power of connectivity. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for that I'm planted in your house. I thank you, Lord, that I'm not in this doing life by myself, but I'm part of a family, Lord. I thank you, Father, for unity in this church. I thank you, Lord, that we are committed. We are planted in your house. We join together in Jesus. In Jesus' name. Do you agree with that this morning?
Yeah.
How many of you say, Pastor Steve, I'm committed. I feel, you know, this message spoke to me, and I feel I'm planted in the house of the Lord. I'm committed. I'm putting my roots down. Wave your hand to me if you are committing to the house of the Lord. I'm planted. I'm committed. I want to get involved. I want to volunteer. I want to serve. Listen, I want to encourage you, man. We have our connect groups during the week. That is the place really where you get connected, is in a connect group. And I'm starting a connect group at my house this week, and I just want to encourage you, if you're not part of a connect, if you're not attending a connect group right now, and I know that's 90% of you. 90% of you are not attending a connect group. I want to encourage you today to fill out a card, commit yourself, and become part of a connect group. Get connected so you can grow. So you can be a blessing and minister to others. Encourage others. They encourage you. I can't tell you. I mean, Liz was telling me that she moved from Palm Beach Gardens up to Port St. Lucie. And she had a connect group of Barbara and Dolores who were attending. And they came to her and said, we so miss the connect group. We'll drive up to Port St. Lucie. Let's do a group in the daytime. And so they drive up from Palm Beach Gardens to Port St. Lucie every week because they so miss that connection that they had in connect group. Listen, if you've never been a part of a connect group, you don't know what I'm talking about. But when you get connected, it's like a family. It's like a family. It's like lifelong friendships, man. I want to encourage you to fill out a card today. Say, Pastor Steve, I want to become part of a connect group. I'm putting down roots. I'm not just living with the church. I'm marrying the church. I'm part of the church. I'm with you. I'm planted in the house of the Lord. I want you to fill out that card right now. Ushers, would you stand ready? Would you just give everybody a card? Don't ask. Just give everybody a card. Give everybody a card. Give everybody a volunteer to serve card. If you're not serving, you need to be serving. You need, for your sake, you need to be serving in the house of the Lord. I mean, my nephew James just moved over from Liverpool, England. And he comes here at 6:30. He comes and sits up every morning, every Sunday. And he said to me, then he really loves it. He says that even though it's early, he said, we have such fun. There's such a great team of guys. We laugh. We have a ball. He actually enjoys getting at 6:30 in the morning, Miguel, and sitting up, which is a miracle. It's a miracle. I want to encourage you, if you're not serving, get involved. Serve in the media team. We need another photographer. We have Dolores, but you know, we need to have a second photographer. Like next week, we've got Easter, and we need more photographers. And if you want to fill out a card to be part of a connect group, maybe you want to help set up, or maybe you want to help in children's ministry. But I'm just saying, get involved. Put down your roots. Connect. Amen? If you receive that card today, I want to ask everyone, please, if you're not in a connect group, fill it out. Give the card back when the offering comes around. Put it in the offering bag. If you want to serve and you're not serving, fill out that card and put it in the offering bag. And we will, you know, we will help you. We'll train you. If you serve, if you volunteer for children's ministry, we'll show you what to do. If you volunteer for media ministry, we'll show you what to do. We just
You need to just be willing to say, Lord, what can I do? Here am I. Lord, use me. I want to be planted in your house. I want to be involved. I want to be part of the body. I want to give back. I don't want to just be a taker. I want to be a giver, Lord. Amen? Do you receive that today?
Yes.
Also, I want to say one other thing to you, is that something else I'm doing. There's an app. I want to encourage you to download this app on your phone. It's called GroupMe. It looks like that. GroupMe. And what it enables us to do is we have a GroupMe app for Christian Family Church. And it enables us to all communicate by text together. So it connects us. So that you might say, listen, everybody please pray. My mother's going into hospital for surgery tomorrow. Will you all be praying? And everyone can be praying. Well, you might say, well, you know, at my work we have an opening. We have a position open. If there's someone looking for a job, call and contact this number. It enables us to be connected. So yeah. I want to encourage you, if you download this GroupMe app on your phone and then text me and say, Pastor Steve, I want to join GroupMe, I'll send you an invite. I'll add you to the group. And then every day I'm going to text scriptures. I'm going to text things, put on there things the Lord puts on my heart to encourage you. And if you say, well, Pastor Steve, I don't like getting all these notifications, because some people left the group because they got notifications. All you do is you go to the top right of the app and you turn off notifications. So, I mean, I'm part of six GroupMe's, right? Six groups on GroupMe, because the business I'm involved with. And I just turn off the notifications and I don't hear them, and then I go look at it when it's convenient. So that's what you can do. But I'd encourage you to do that. I'm trying to get us all connected. Amen. Amen. I want you to bow your heads for a moment, if you would. I want to ask you to close your eyes just for a moment. Before we finish up here this morning, I want to pray. I want to give an opportunity right now, like we do every Sunday. I want to pray especially for anyone who's here this morning and you say, Pastor Steve, I'm really not sure where I stand with the Lord today. I'm not sure if everything is right, if everything is well between me and God. Let me ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for certain? Can you say that you're 100% sure that you would go to heaven? Or would you have to be honest and say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church. Listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm not asking you even if you believe in God. I'm asking you, if you died today, are you sure of where you would spend eternity? Because let me tell you, the good news is you can be sure. You can leave here today knowing without any doubt that when you die, heaven is where you will spend all of eternity. There is a heaven to gain. Heaven is a real place. And there is a hell to shun. And I want to pray with you and for you this morning. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. But right where you are, sitting while we have our eyes closed, this is between you and God. If you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me, please include me in that prayer that you're going to pray. Because I want to make sure that all is right, all is well with me and God. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I want you to pray for me. If that's you, I want you quickly, just lift your hand up high right now in the name of Jesus. Just hold up your hand. I'm looking for hands. And if your hand is raised, then you're included in this prayer this morning. All right. Praise God. Thank you. Pastor Jill.
Brian, good word. Amen. I needed that. We use our gifts and talents for the house of God. Praise God, family. This is a time in the service where we have the opportunity to give into the house of God. Amen. And the envelopes on the seats right where you are, there's various ways to give. It'll come up on the screen, different ways that we have to give, make it easy for you. But you know, in reading the story, oh, and I want to welcome those who are watching online. We're glad you've joined us. Whatever the reason is that you couldn't make it this morning, thank you for being part of the service and you invited to be part of the giving today. Just click right on the online giving. But I was reading the Palm Sunday, like I said to you, I was reading about the passage of Jesus coming into Jerusalem. And I just want to read you the first few verses from Matthew 21. It says, now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, Then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you'll find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them.' And immediately he will send them. And all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, 'Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly, sitting on a donkey.'" Remember, I've told you that in Zechariah, that's where it was prophesied. "A colt, the foal of a donkey." And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, and they laid their clothes on them and set him on them. So, you know, it's very interesting to me that Jesus needed a donkey. And you would think that being God, you know, maybe he could just snap his fingers and a donkey would appear. But the truth is, this donkey that he rode in on actually had an owner. Somebody owned that donkey. And Jesus needed to get that donkey from that owner to use for his purpose, right?
Yes.
You got to know it was the will of God. It was the plan of God. It had been prophesied. It was prophesied. That donkey was provided, yet it was still in somebody else's, tied to somebody else's fence in their yard, right? And that person had to release that donkey for Jesus' use. Jesus said, all you have to say is, "The Lord has need of it." And they would do it. Now, I was thinking about it. What would we say if we were the owners of that donkey? And he just said, someone came and told you, "The Lord has need of that." How would we respond? Would we say, "Yes, Lord, this is for your use. This is for your kingdom." Because that's really what God does. You know, he looks at what we have in our hand. Pastor Steve was talking about it today. When we are connected and when we are part, we planted, our gifts, our serving, our resources, all of that is at God's disposal. Amen. We say, "Lord, use me," but then when he wants to use something you have, sometimes it's hard for us to let go. But, you know, I heard it said like this: when you let go of what is in your hand, then God can let go of what is in his hand. Giving produces receiving, right? So God's work on earth is still continuing today. It's not just what happened in the Bible is God's work. God's work continues today. Amen. In fact, the thing that's on God's heart is souls. And I think, I don't know if we realize the significance of the day in which we live. I think when we get to heaven one day, or believers from throughout the ages are going to look at us and say, "I can't believe you got to be a part of the end time church." Because we're right in these end days. I mean, when you watch these things on TV and you see Russia, you see China, you see Iran, just open the book of Revelation. They're gathering for what the Bible prophesies. And we are right in the midst of it. And so don't let us hold on to our donkeys when God has need of them. Amen. And so this morning, I encourage you, obviously, that we be faithful tithers. But release what's in your hand. When God prompts you and says, "I need," just give, because you'll never outgive God. You'll never outgive God. You could give him down to the last penny you have, and he will take care of you, give you more than enough. Amen. And so this morning, thank you for giving faithfully to this church. You know, sometimes I could let myself take the pressure because I have the responsibility of paying bills, and sometimes I have you know what it's like, right? You know the realities of balancing what you have with what has to be paid. But I refuse to worry about that because God is our source. We refuse to pressure you. All we ask you to do is be faithful to tithe and do what the Lord puts on your heart. Amen. And that way he's able to provide for his work through us. Amen. So go ahead and prepare yourself to give. And we're going to pray right now. Thank you for that. Father, I thank you for the resources you've put into our hands. Father, I thank you that everything we have comes from you. We recognize that you are our source. We recognize that you are our provider. Your name is Jehovah Jireh. And so, Father, just like we praise you for being the healer, we praise you for being the deliverer, we praise you for being the savior, we praise you today for being the provider. We thank you, Father, that everything we need comes from your hand. Thank you, Father, for every person giving here today. I thank you that you are Jehovah Jireh to them, that every need is met, that every bill is paid in their life. Thank you that they have more than enough. In the name of Jesus, if you receive that, say thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Go ahead, ushers.
Praise God. I forgot to mention earlier that there's also some brightly colored envelopes in the seats. Johnny, could you mind handing me one of those envelopes? It says, happy birthday, Pastor Jill. If you'd like to be, you know, if there's an opportunity to be a blessing to Pastor Jill, as you all are so generous toward me and my birthday, then please go ahead if you'd like to. Bless Pastor Jill. You can use that envelope and you can give it to her. Or do we have something out there in the lobby for the envelopes? Or where do they put it? Put it in the offering bag, or they might not have done it. I would say come and give it to her. There you go. I want to say thank you this morning to all of our volunteers who served in the house of the Lord this morning. I want you to give all of our volunteers, please, a big round of applause and appreciation. Thank God. Some of them were here at 6:30 this morning so that you could sleep in a little bit. So thank you to our volunteers, our children's church workers. Thank you so much. If you're here as a visitor today, I'd love to meet you after the service. I'm going to be in the lobby. I'd love to meet you. Everybody, next week is Easter. Invite 5 people. Let's have a great big Easter next week in Jesus' name. What do you say? You say, are you enthusiastic? Are you excited about it? Will you do it? Amen. We'll see you next time. God bless everybody.
Okay.
Hold on, I got a minute.